Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Welcome to episode 376.
Is that right?
Kris Tomlin. We've almost done 400 episodes. That is wild. All right, Kris Tomlin. And I know Kris Tomlin is. And my wife was like, wow, I can't believe Kris Tomlin's coming over. But I didn't understand just how massive he was until I started getting into it. Where there's only like four artists that have gotten a certain award. And like Garth Brooks is one of them. And Kris Tomlin's the other. All over the world, this guy just sells massive arenas. So Kris Tomlin, I just want to get to it because I had such a good time doing this interview. He has over a million followers on Instagram, at Kris Tomlin, if you want to follow him. I mean, good father, how great is our God, got two Grammy nominations recently, but it's just massive what he's been able to do. Christmas Songs of Worship Deluxe is out, his Emmanuel Christmas Songs album, and then he's all over touring. Go see him. That's it, Kris Tomlin, now on the Bobbycast. Talking to my wife last night, and she usually doesn't care. Like, she doesn't find the things cool that I find cool, and she and I don't find the things cool she finds cool.
I'm married to someone just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it's great. She challenges me and yes. Loves me, and she's only ever really cared about one person that has come over to do this, and it was Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn, who sang at our wedding. We're like, we're now really close to them. Like, we hang. They're friends of ours, Ronnie and Janine.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, but before then, she just didn't care. But Ronnie was going, she's like, oh, I'm going to come over. Never come over once. And I told her you were coming over, and she was like, if I could, I'm trying so hard to get over there. I love Kris Tomlin. And I was like, wait, what? She just saw it on my calendar, too. I didn't even really bring it up.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we share calendars.
That's so sweet.
And I said, what do you know about Kris? And she said, what hymn? She asked me what hymns we sang in church. And I said, well, I went to Mountain Pine Baptist and the traditionals. Mm-hmm. I could go I Fly Away.
Yeah.
I could even go when I went to a Pentecostal church with my grandma, like Rock of Ages.
Oh, yeah.
So I think of that. And she started like rattling. She goes, well, our hymns were, and she started rattling off your songs. She goes, these are the new hymns, yeah, like that we sing regularly at church.
Yes.
And so my wife's a massive fan. She told me to tell you hello.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And
don't tell her hello.
You've been such an influence. And I said, well, do you know that she's saying every one of them word for word?
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. That's so cool, man.
I thought it was cool too. And so she's just a big fan. And I know we tried to do this and I was sick. And
yeah, I'm so glad I have
a lot of questions for you, man.
Okay. Well, fire away. Let me just say, that's probably the greatest privilege of my life, honestly, is when people say, we sing your songs in my church. Because, you know, gotten to number one songs and awards and album sales and all that, but it does not compare, honestly, to me, to somebody walking up and saying, because for me, that is when the song has gone past me. It's not attached to me. And it's like some music pastor or music minister in their church has said, you know, I want to take this song and lead it in my congregation, and I have nothing to do with it. I didn't say, please play this song. And there's no label going to a radio saying this is the single. It's just them picking it up. And then it's very grassroots, right? There's no, and I just think it never gets old to me to hear that, because that's what I just, I always pray, man, maybe long after I'm gone, maybe there's a couple that stick around, you know, who knows, but.
It seemed to me too that she didn't say that we had sang his song at our church. It was we sing his songs at our church. And there's a difference because maybe you, this week we're going to sing X or Y.
Yeah.
But it was, these were the hymns that they sang regularly. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought, it to be in your world, in your space, do you have to be a really nice guy?
I love you already.
Because if you came in and you were just not nice, I would be like, I don't think you have to be like super lovely to be a Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just have a different temperament. And
It's a different thing, man. I tell you, especially in a, when people, when you're in a public figure and then, and you represent faith.
It's a higher standard. I mean.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, I just feel like it's very isolating. And it's isolating at all. I mean, you're isolated in your world because it's just what it is. But it feels a little bit more when your sense of like there's an expectation that is just it that I think I put on myself. I don't know if people put it on me, but I think I put it on myself because I'm, you know, you're trying to represent something that you're trying to represent the goodness of God to people, the grace of God to people. And man, and I'm a human being and not even close to, you know, perfect in any way and have just as many flaws, but it's you feel like, man, I just let so many people down because they look at you as like, man, I bet you have a red phone to God. I mean, I bet you just pick it up and y'all have this thing. And it's not that. And it's not that. I just have had a heart that wanted to serve him and had a heart that felt like a calling on my since I was a kid and just tried to walk in that. And it's led to this. I would have never dreamed it. Just like I'm sure you have the same story of like, how did this all happen? But yeah, I don't know if I'm being a nice guy is the right thing. I want to be a true person. I think that's it. You know, I want to be a true person. And sometimes that's about not being nice, you know?
And that was where I was going, is that sometimes to be honest with yourself, to be honest to whomever, it could be God or to your wife, it's not being nice.
Yeah.
And I could see where that could be problematic. Mm-hmm. With your career representing what you represent.
Yes.
I could see if you posted a picture of you, and this is just me creating a scenario, drinking a Mountain Dew, that you would even have, it's a different group of not nice people on the internet, but I would assume people would go, what, your body's a temple. Why are you drinking Mountain Dew if you're representing, I would assume it would be that at times problematic for you to where you can't do any, you don't claim to be Christ or perfect.
No, gosh, no. Right.
But I think people would assume that you are representing that, so you must be trying to be that.
Right, right. Yeah, you do feel like you're, oh man, you do feel like in this world, especially in the world of everything is out there in public and social media, and you feel like, oh my gosh, you do feel like how is this represented to so many people who have so many different feelings about, about faith and things like that. So yeah, it's, I learned a long time ago that I don't have Instagram. I don't have
Twitter, right?
I don't have any of it. And
good for you.
Because it's just, I have a team that does it. Mm-hmm. You see my Instagram. I'll post every once in a while. I'll send pictures of something I want to post. I send it to my manager. They post it and say this.
Good for you.
Because I just, that stuff of just like, man, I have all the best intentions and then somebody just destroys you over it and you're like, okay. And it can just start messing with you. And so I'm like, you know what? I just feel so free. I haven't, it's probably been 3 or 4 years and I just feel so free from it all, you know?
Do you miss having those connections? And it's definitely a balance. Mm-hmm. 'Cause sometimes I miss, but then I'm like, I get on, it makes me feel so bad. Mm-hmm. Like I do it, it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. But I think I would miss it. Do you miss having those, the ability to get with people like that? Because you have other ways, obviously.
Yeah. I miss the kind of being in the know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not in the know.
Burner account? You have one of those? That's what we need, a Chris Tomlin burner account. where you have one, but nobody knows it's you, and you're just living life. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's that guy? Mm-hmm. Man.
It's a just the analogy that I'll make, and it's not the same at all, but it's the best I can do here. I can go into certain places and certain If I can go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to Los Angeles. I don't get bothered. And I don't mean bothered in a bad way, just bothered in general. But if I go, you know, 98% of places, mm-hmm. people come up and take mm-hmm. pictures, and that's great, and it's the life I've signed up for most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing that I'm not famous. Mm-hmm. I'm known in certain pockets mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And it's also freeing at times because I can go places and not have to worry about people taking pictures of me.
Yeah.
Now, you are so massive in your space. But do you find that you have the ability to do that too, to go certain places and just blend in?
Most of places. And it's really wonderful. It's very wonderful. So obviously for my family, it's very wonderful. But I would say most of places. And the reason is most of my stuff is not visible. I mean, for the longest time, the songs have always been the stars. Like your wife was saying, these are the songs we sing. And there's not like there's not music videos attached to it. There's not TV things. There's nothing. There's no opportunities there, really. Not a lot. And so there's not a lot of places for that mugshot there to be around, you know. And so I feel like I have found so many times, most of the times, probably for me, is like, when someone says this is Chris Tomlin, then the things change.
Like, oh, that's you?
Exactly. All the time.
Oh.
All the time. Great example. You'll love this. I'm down at 30A Nashville South, and I was down there and went into the gym to do a little workout, and it's just me and this other guy in there, and I was like, I think that's Tyler Hubbard. I know that's Tyler. And sure, he doesn't know who I am, but I walk up and I say, it's only two in there. And of course, he's going to be in the gym, you know. And so I walk up and shake his hand. It's like, Tyler, hey, it's Chris Tomlin. Just want to say hello. I knew our paths across at some point. You're Chris Tomlin? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you got to be kidding me. He goes, dude. And he just goes in this whole thing about how much my music has meant to him for so long. But obviously, he's not recognizing me in there. I'm recognizing him because it's just that world, right? He's such a more recognizable world of country music or whatever. It's more visible with your award shows and all the things.
Popular culture and
popular
general.
Culture. Yeah. Yeah, great
way
to say it.
Do you wish, though, you had a little more of people knew who you were?
That's a great question. Man, I think the ego in me would be, yeah. I mean, but
I don't mean it in a bad or a good way. And we don't do what we do anyway if we didn't think we were so good at it that people shouldn't dedicate their time to it, right? I mean, there's an ego involved in what we have to feel a certain way to do what we do.
Yeah.
And so I think
it is an interesting thing because I think the respect, I guess, that people get or whatever that is that it does for people, I really don't have that, and it's probably a great thing. It's probably a great thing, and it's really, and I will come around. And I'm not trying to be just uber like spiritual about that, but this is the best place because for me, it really is about helping people connect to God and not be about me, and that's so I think it's a really good thing.
I agree too. I think it's a really great thing too, but it doesn't mean we don't sometimes go,
yeah, you're,
I wish I had the validation. Because we go through life searching. I do.
Yeah.
I won't put
no. People. I'm a human being. I'm glad you asked that. No one's ever asked me that. And if I'm just being really honest, yeah, it's like you just, you know, your music is, it's not recognized like others. You know?
So I have a friend named Ben Rector who is just a,
yeah.
Do you know Ben?
Okay. Love Ben.
And so Ben and I are close, and I took one of my friends to one of his shows. He didn't know Ben's music. And we go to Ascend Amphitheater, and there's 8,000 people packed in here. And he's like, I never heard of this guy, and he sells 8,000. He's like, this is unbelievable. And I was a fan before I was a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And I told Ben that story. He goes, you know, people are like that. They know I do music, or they know that I play music,
yeah.
And they'll come to a show and be like, "Wait, you do? How do you sell this many?" Well, like, what's happening? Like, they're just so surprised.
Yeah.
I would imagine people that don't know, and our world now is so fractured with fame. There's so many ways to get famous.
Yeah.
So many ways to have notoriety. I would imagine people that would come to one of your shows that didn't know how powerful your message and audience is, both, mm-hmm. would be shocked at the amount of people that would show up.
Yes,
there.
They would be shocked.
Shocked.
Shocked. And I think that is the testament of, I think, I always say it's a testament of the bigness of the church around the world, because this is not just, this music is not just in the U.S., you know, because we can go to...
Oh, are they big crowds in other countries?
Oh, gosh.
I never thought about that.
Oh, gosh. We can go to the Philippines, and it's like we're playing 3 or 4 nights in the arena. It's just like, you know.
Could you play bigger shows in other countries?
Oh, yeah. We some of our biggest nights. If we play in Africa, it's like, it's always, seriously, it's 40,000 to 50,000 people.
Do you think in Africa people would know your face more?
Probably, because
that's so wild.
Probably.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. But like some of our best nights have been like South Africa and Cape Town and Johannesburg and Sao Paulo and Manila and some of those places like that, because it's just a testament that the church is so massive and people don't, that's a weird thing to say, but that's not in the news, right? It's always, when you look at big companies and big organizations, you're thinking all the Apple and all the things. The church is so massive as an organization. It's just massive across this world. It's billions of people. And so, you know, when you're connected and songs connect, and it's amazing because everybody does it differently, but these songs connect and are across denominations, across different streams and different flavors, but people are singing a lot of the same songs. And so I've just been fortunate to have some of those songs that have connected the dots in so many places across the world.
I grew up in a Pentecostal church with my grandmother when I was really young. Mm-hmm. Didn't really understand what was happening there because I was so young.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up going to a Baptist church in Arkansas.
Me too.
And so similar, because they're both from the South, different passion levels for different things in both of those churches.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to different sorts of Christian concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Another artist that I'm going to use Christian concerts as the genre of music, because there are other artists who are Christian.
Yeah, sure. I know exactly.
Yeah. And so I saw Newsboys.
Yeah.
Jars of Clay.
Yeah.
Carmen.
Yeah.
Now, and the Carmen show was more of an experience, like organs and pray. It's like when you see like a church. The Carmen one was an experience.
Yeah.
The other ones were kind of like rock shows.
Yes, right.
Where does yours fall in the middle of that? Because they were different. They were different kind of shows.
Great question. For me, it's worship, and what is that, right? And so, since I was a kid, I wanted to. I started playing. My dad taught me to play when I was a kid, and it was country music. So my dad loved.
Taught you to play guitar.
Guitar.
Was he a good player?
He's pretty good. He had a little country band in town. He would. I grew up in a very small town in East Texas, outside of Tyler, and he loved the Outlaws. He loved Willie and Waylon. And that's what I learned. So my first songs were those songs, and that's what he taught me to play. I grew up in a Baptist church in East Texas, and he and I would get a chance to play because I was one of the only kids that could play. So they'd throw me up there, and I remember just telling my mom as a kid, I'd be like, I just like it when people sing with me. I don't really like standing up there and I didn't even know how to articulate it, but I just don't like playing and everybody watching me. I said, I like when people just start singing along. And so I'd do a hymn or something and people would, and the whole place would start singing. I was like, man, I love that. And so I didn't know that that was how God was kind of wiring me, that was be my path, because I was not even thinking, you know, I didn't know music would be my path, but that we can get into that. But this is, as I started writing songs, that was what was the heart for me. I want to write songs, simple songs that people can sing. I want to write, and it was this, at the same time, it was this explosion of something. It was happening in Europe, in England a bit. It was happening in California with Vineyard, and it was happening, this explosion of this new music that was capturing the church, this new way, kind of more of a modern sound, and in these simple songs. And I was like, and I was writing some of them, and I loved writing those. And so for me, it's always been about the concerts are really an experience together. I said, I always want to feel like it's just everybody singing together. And it, so it's kind of like a church service, I guess it would be. But it's all in worship together. So it's not really, I'm not really there trying to entertain anybody, put on a show. We have hopefully great content, hopefully great lighting and all the things. But it's, I feel like, I've always wanted to say like this. There's the two P's. I can either be a performer or have presence. And I'd rather just have a presence up there of like, I'm leading this thing. There's going to be somebody that's going to be on the microphone leading this thing. But I don't want to be like, hey, everybody, check me out. Look at this and sound this. Or check out how I can sing. It's like, I just want to, in a place where, man, hopefully somebody in the night goes, oh, gosh, I forgot Chris was even up there. You know, it was just like, I was just connecting. My soul was connecting. My heart was connecting and helping people have that kind of experience and encounter with these songs. And I take great responsibility. It feels like a great weight. So in that, and so that's kind of my approach. And so it's just, it's one, and it's, the music is, and it's different, you know, it's the sound of it is, it can be just me and my acoustic guitar for 15 minutes in the night, or it can be massive, you know, with the, whatever the modern pop sound is. But
Church of the City is where we'll go if I'm in town, you know, travel a lot.
There you go.
And they put the words on screen. Will you do that?
Yes.
So people can sing if they don't know it?
Yes, it is. Words on the screen. And that's because that's what it's about, and for me. And let's do this together. Yeah.
I like that because then you don't assume that people know the words.
Exactly.
And then people don't feel like they're not a part of the group. And that seems like the culture that you're setting is like we're together.
Yes.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about the incredible work that's being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and to ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. Families do not have to worry about a thing. Treatment is covered, travel, housing, food. And when you're a family that's going through this, like imagine you're a parent, your kid gets cancer. You need to focus on that child. You don't need to be worrying about other things. And financial stuff can get really stressful. St. Jude covers it. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment. And when you sign up for just $19 a month, you're going to get the new This Shirt Saves Lives tee. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today
at purdueglobal.edu.
Do you sell merch at your shows?
I do.
How do you feel about people if they buy merch and wear it that night? They buy merch, but then they put it on. Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine who's like, that's the lamest thing people do. You take it home with you, and then you don't wear it to the show. You wear it somewhere else. It's not meant to be worn there in front of the person.
I love it.
And I'm like, I love it too. I'm doing my show and somebody wearing something that they bought that night or already super passionate to put it on.
I love it.
That's the best.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been doing something fun this whole last 2 years with our merchandise. I found this company called GoX. And it's the Global Orphan Exchange. You'll love this. And they said, how do we're going to put a t-shirt plant in the middle of the poorest city in the world in Haiti and help kids stay out of slavery by employing them and their families in this huge t-shirt plant and then print them in Kansas City in this place that helps give people, vulnerable people in the margins, a job. And so it makes no sense. I went to my manager and was like, this is amazing. It makes no sense. The margins are, because they're small compared to the big companies. I love being able to do that.
Yeah.
And just, we're helping even in the midst of it, even with t-shirts. I was like, man, how can we do something that it helps people, you know, in the midst of it? And so, yeah. So when people wear it, that gets me fired up. And I let people know that on our thing, when they get a little thing, say, hey, you did more than buy a t-shirt, but this tour is employing people that would know otherwise would not be.
I learned a bit about that, especially in Haiti. I went to Haiti. My co-host on my radio show, one of my best friends, she's adopted a couple children from Haiti, and she didn't plan to. She was trying to adopt, not locally, but
domestically.
Thank you, Mike. And that fell through a couple times. And so she was on a mission trip in Haiti, met the kids, not brother and sister, but now they are and they're here. And so she didn't know, but I went over there without her knowing, because I wanted to experience what her, because I knew they were going to be here and I was going to be in their life.
Yeah.
So I snuck a trip to Haiti and I went over and I stayed there and met the kids and did the orphanage. And so what I learned though is we got back and we've decided to build and fund a bread kitchen in the orphanage for a bit of the same reason, in that with this kitchen, and I always thought it was weird, I would feel like, let's just raise money and give it to them. But what I learned was, and it's the old, you can teach a man to fish.
Yeah.
What I learned was if we built something that they could then work to maintain, sustain,
yeah,
and grow,
yeah,
you're actually teaching somebody to fish and not just giving them a fish.
Yeah.
And so until recently, because Haiti's in really bad shape right now, especially, she can't even take her kids over there now.
But right, yeah, it's
that bread kitchen was doing really well. And for years and years and years, it really gave people a lot of jobs. But it took that to teach me that.
Yeah.
How sometimes it's better not to just go, hey, here's everything,
yeah,
and temporarily it'll fix a lot of stuff. It's, hey, here's something, and for a long time, you can work to fixing the foundation. And I think that's fantastic that happens there,
yeah,
with what you're doing.
Yeah, I thought, what a brilliant thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's giving people a job, employing people, and they were just so ecstatic. They're like, man, we never had a tour that's taken on this and this kind of way. And so it just increased every sales. And so
that's cool.
Yeah.
Your dad, can I ask about him?
Yeah.
So if he's planning a band, did he have dreams and maybe they were just dreams, or did he ever try to play music semi-professionally or professionally?
He did not. He was a pharmacist and had the pharmacy. So in the pharmacy, we had the baseball card shop and then we had the music.
You had a baseball card shop as a kid?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
That's the dream. I mean, forget all this other stuff we're talking about.
We had the Nolan Ryan rookie cards.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
Oh yeah. Come on. We can go deep. Beckett.
Book. Are you? What do you mean? Yeah. Of course I know. I used to scan that thing to figure out how much my Frank Thomas rookie was worth. My Donruss.
Yes. Ken Griffey Jr. rookie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So you had a baseball card shop in the pharmacy.
In the pharmacy, and we go to all the shows, baseball card shop shows. And Dad would be a dealer, baseball card shop dealer, and he had the booth. And then, because his grandmother found the baseball card, that whole thing, you know, his mom, one day out of a closet, found all of his old cards when he was a kid, and it was the Mickey Mantles and things like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my gosh. And he had glued them all to pages since they were worthless, as far as like, because they were worth like, that card's worth $5,000, and now it's worth $5, you know? And he's just like, oh my goodness. And so we would do all kinds of things, try to repair these cards and all the kind of things. So, but yeah, he loved the baseball cards. He had a baseball card shop, and then he had a music shop in the pharmacy as well. So on the side, he had some guitars, sold some guitars and strings and all the things. And yeah, so he taught me to play. And
who taught him to play?
That's a great question. I think he just taught him. He never said his dad or anything. I think maybe he just taught himself.
Just was he an interested and interesting person, both? Meaning, was he curious enough to just go, there's somebody playing guitar on the radio. I think I'll try to figure that out.
Yeah. I guess so, because he had this band in high school, and they played all the little prom dances around the East Texas, and they were pretty good. I've heard some of their little tapes. They were a pretty good little band, and they were just covering all the Stones and everybody. But yeah, I mean, I guess he just was interested enough. But I'm so glad that he put it in my hand. I got mono when I was a fourth grade, and couldn't over the summer, and all I cared about was baseball, and I couldn't play. And the doctor said, you got to be in the house all summer. And my dad came home one day. It's like, what do you want to learn? You got to do something. You're sitting here. He said, do you want to learn the guitar or the fiddle? And I was so funny because I look back. He doesn't know how to play the fiddle. I was like, what if I'd have said the fiddle? How was that going to work out? But I said guitar. And so each day, you know, he would just write out. I'd get it. In the morning, he'd write out the six strings and put the notes on. He'd just write out the notes on the frets. And I would work on that while he'd be at work. And then next morning, he'd write another six strings.
Would he have you play it for him?
To
write the next ones down? Would he make sure you knew those?
Yeah, okay, play that for me, what you learned today. And then, okay, here's some chords. And would put them on the six strings. And I would.
Were you interested enough to keep practicing?
You know, I was. But he had to push me a lot because I was really into sports. And I just wanted to do that. I was not interested enough to get really good. I was interested enough just to kind of play along and learn the chords, but he just kept pushing me to keep playing and playing. And then I picked up piano, and I just taught myself. After I had a piano in the house, and I was like, I like this. And I would go sit.
Do you like the piano better than the guitar?
Yeah.
Because?
I can see it. I don't know why. I can't. The guitar, I still can't see it. I know where my hands go, but when I sit at the piano, that's where most of the songs come, because I can just see it. I just look down, it's like, okay, it just looks like the melodies just come out of the piano for some reason.
Do you feel like you were drawn to play, and not just play, but play and love performing in church because your dad loved to be at church? And in a way, it was that relationship with your dad was so important. And if you made him proud of you, maybe playing at church was for him and for you at the same time?
That's a good question. Honestly, since I was really young, I've just felt like I've had this real sensitive heart to God, and I don't even know how to explain it. I'd just be so moved by, even as a kid, of things that all my friends thought were dumb or just like, this is boring. I would just be drawn to.
Is it because is your mom and dad, were they together?
Yeah, they're together, still together.
Okay, so they're both still alive?
Yeah.
Was your mom extremely devout?
No. I mean, yeah, they were.
But extremely to the point where they thought maybe their son would have a career.
In some kind of ministry? No chance. No one in my family. There's no one in my family in it. Mm. My grandmother, all she ever says, just be a doctor. I was going to school to be a doctor. And she's like, that's what you're going to do. And something like that. And so no one in my family is, but they were. But they were strong believers, and they were like, but not never thinking ministry, anything like that.
You know, it's weird that a lot of artists will come in, especially in country music, and they will grow up in the church and go to country. It feels like you grew up on country. And went into church. It's like the exact opposite of everybody else.
Exact opposite. So I made this record. I don't know if you, Chris Tomlin and Friends, it was a record with all the country, with Thomas and FGL and all the guys. And that was the funny thing for me, because you guys were calling to me how much the whole thing, it was all about the church for them growing up. And it's like, we'd love this record with you, because it would give us a chance to like just put all that music out that we really want to put out and say some things we really want to say. I was like, awesome. And for me, it was country so it was the exact opposite, right? Exactly what you're saying.
My grandmother raised me for a significant part of my life, and I've talked about the music that I thought was contemporary music until I was old enough to experience and discover contemporary music. And it was Andy Griffith Gospel Records. And I thought that was just the normal stuff. Ray Charles Gospel Records. Ray Charles, even Modern Sounds of Country Music. All that to me, Johnny Cash Gospel before Johnny Cash Country. But that was the stuff that she had.
Yeah.
And so I grew up on that and feeling that that was normal. Just contemporary, right? Yeah. Everybody listened to that. Yeah. And I would say that. I remember being a kid at school, and they were like, who's Andy Griffith? The same guy on the Black and White show that comes on?
Right.
And I was like, yeah, he's also like a singer, right?
Yeah.
But my earliest was gospel music before I was like 10 or 11. I started to find it. What was your 9, 10, 11-year-old music influence? And did your parents have gospel music in the house? Or again, like you said, your dad was big into...
It was the Outlaws. That was the music in the house. And it was always Willie Nelson, was all day. And Merle Haggard. And I loved Alabama. So that became my band and I just really loved them. And that's, I remember just that dad and I would go to the record store that's what I would buy. And so for me, those early days was with those guys. And then it was the songs at church. And it was just the kind of the hymns and the church hymns. And then... as I got a little bit older, then I heard this, I started hearing this Christian music. Do you remember this band Petra?
Mm-hmm. Were they guitar? Petra was like guitar, electric guitar?
Yeah. Yeah. Rock.
Yeah.
Kind of a rock thing. Yes. And I was like, when I got to junior high, somebody handed me that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did not know that. I just kind of heard the songs in church. I did not know you could do this. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I was like, wow, what is this? And I thought that was so cool. And then progress. But yeah, those early days was the Eagles and country.
When you start to play, I'm going to say shows, but I'll use that loosely. When you start to play outside of church, did you ever do the, let's play this little venue or this bar or this, just looking for anywhere to play? Or was it you really started in church and it grew from church?
Yeah, it grew from church, and I'll tell you this. I'll tell you how it started. You're going to love this story. And if I go long, just cut me off because I can get going on this story.
I want you to just go on the story because we have long.
Okay,
that's why I wanted to interview you here because I want it all. I want it all.
This is crazy. So there was a guy in my church. I grew up in this small church in a small town. When I say small town, 2,500 people. The town's called Grand Saline. It's got the salt. All it has is salt mine. The Morton Salt, the little girl with the yellow.
You lived where Morton Salt was.
That's where it is.
That's funny. So the umbrella,
when it rains, it pours. You've seen Morton Salt. And we had the Salt Festival, the Salt Queen, the Salt Rodeo, the Salt.
Went all in on the salt, I see.
Everything was about the salt. And Grand Saline means great salt. So there you go. And and so it's right outside of Tyler, Texas. And that's where I grew up. And so there is a guy in my church who played music at other places, and we'd go and play in other churches and play music, and he was like this roaming music guy, and I thought he was the coolest guy about my dad's age. I thought, man, what? And he was funny, and he was just really great with people, and he was kind of a one man show, and I just thought he was the coolest thing. Well, one day I'm in high school. I think I was a junior, maybe a senior in high school, and I'd only played at my church. And he comes by the house. He goes, Chris, I'm playing in Texarkana. It'll be about a 3-hour drive. He goes, I already asked your dad. I'm coming by the house. Will you come with? You want to drive with me today, and you want to help set up my stuff, and you want to sell all the tapes and CDs in the back.
How old are you again?
I'm junior in high school.
Okay.
And I was like, "Are you kidding me? This is the most amazing thing ever." Yes, I am in. So I'm on a 3-hour drive with this guy. We set up. I help him set up his stuff. It's a youth. He's playing a youth concert. It's like 500 kids there at this kind of a youth event. He's playing. He's playing his guitar, and he's playing some songs, fun songs, and youth group songs. And he's got his, and I'm in the back. I've got his tapes and his CDs and in the back. And he stops in the middle of the concert. And he says, my buddy Chris came with me tonight, and I brought him. He's from my town. He's in the youth group and back home where I am. And he's going to come up and play for you guys for a little while. And I was like.
You had no idea I was going to say that.
He never. We had 3 hours in the
car. Was that the plan the whole time?
I asked him later, and he said yes. I asked him years after that. Because this propelled it all. This started it all. I was in the back of this place, standing there, and I'm thinking, you had 3 hours in the car. You didn't say a word. I had no time to prepare. I don't even know. I don't know how to play. And he just walks off the stage. and they're and the stage is just there, and all this kids are looking back at me, and they're all my age, and I walk up there, and I'm just scared to death, and I play the song, and I think it was, I don't even know what it was, remember, but it was awful. I just know, I was just like, get me off the stage. I go up in the back, and I go back to the tapes, and he comes back up and finishes, and they're applauding. This youth pastor comes up and goes, man, I really love that. You want to come play at my church? And I was like, really? I thought, what must music be like at your church if that's what you want? So he's like, yeah, come on. And I said, he said, we're going to do this summer event. We're doing this summer-wide week, and it's for a week this summer for our youth group. Would you come be the musician for it? I was like, yeah. And I hadn't really thought this through, because I was like, when I got home, I was like, I just said yes to something, and it's for a week. And it's like every night I'm playing music. I don't know this many songs. I know like 3 or 4 songs. What am I going to do? I get a call. And it's 2 weeks before. About a month before this event, I get a call. This guy's a deep voice. His name is James. He goes, hey, James. I said, hello, James. He goes, my name is James. Is this Chris? I was like, yeah. He said, man, no. He said, I'm calling you because I'm speaking at this youth event, and I've never heard of you. And I just want to know if they're going to be there for the week, I want to know what kind of music you do. And I was like, and who you are. And I was like, well, James, the reason you've never heard of me is because I've never done this before.
You said that?
Yes. And you're calling me at my parents' house. I live with my parents. I'm in high school. And he's just like, and you did the long pause on the phone. He's like, well, what kind of songs do you play? And I said, well, James, I know like 3 songs. And he's like, that's all you know? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, well, can I send you some music? This is divine, man. Bobby, this is, looking back, I mean, I've never had this conversation again. No one's ever sent me music again. The first thing I ever did is, let me send you some music. I was like, okay, to learn. So he sends me these tapes and CDs, and it's these songs, and it's these all these early choruses and of that were making its way around the church. And I was like, oh, these are so cool. They're more youth group kind of songs. And so what I did is I brought note cards. I wrote every song down I learned on these little tapes, and I wrote all the lyrics on the note cards. I wrote the chords above them, and I came with my, I had a guitar, and I had a little keyboard, and I had a drum machine, and it was me for this youth thing. And I walked on stage, and I put all the note cards down on the stage, like in the order that I would do the songs each night. I would get there early before any of the kids were there. It was like 500 kids there, which was like, for me, was 10 times bigger than my high school. And so it's like, I would get there early so they wouldn't see my cheat sheets down there. And I would play the song. I'd walk up. I was scared to death to look at anybody, scared to death to say, I didn't even say hello. I just walked up and I played the first song, and then I would stop and I'd grab my mic stand. I would take it down to the next note
card. You'd shift it over to the next on the ground?
I would just take it down to the next note card.
People had to be like, what is he doing? Why does he move the stand every song?
So I was thinking about like, what that must have looked like for kids is like, wow, he starts every now on that side and he ends up at this side. He just kind of moves his way down the stage. And that's, I obviously didn't know what I was doing. End of that week, I tell that story to say, at the end of that week, this guy named James, he comes to me and he says, 2 things, man. And he would kind of help me through the week and say, hey, man, you might want to like say hello to people. You might want to welcome them. You might want to like, you know, just say, hey, sing with me or something. And so, but every week he was very encouraging, but at the end of the week, he said, 2 things I want to tell you. One is, you have no idea what you're doing. And I never forget, it was that direct. He goes, you have no idea what you're doing. And he said, secondly, he goes, you have no idea how God's going to use your songs all over the world. And I was just staring at him, dumbfounded. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, because I didn't have any songs. It's note cards of other people's songs. He goes, man, I've been praying for you this week. I just had a sense that you're going to write songs and the world's going to sing these songs. And then he just did something that was crazy, that was not Baptist at all. He just put his hand on my head, staring at me just like I'm staring at you, and just put his hand on my head. And there was no head bowed, eyes closed. He said, God, would you make Chris a psalm writer, not a song, but a psalm writer for his generation? And man, it was like lightning went through me. I was just like, what is going on? And that began this journey. And he said, man, I'm going to go speak at things, and I'm going to whenever I go speak, I'm going to have you come play with me. Come play. And that started this whole journey of like, I was just graduating high school. And I was like, wow, all these opportunities started coming to play music. And I started to write songs, write these simple songs, like I was saying. I wanted to write songs people would sing. And so I started writing these songs. Fast forward 25 years. And James calls me one day and he says, hey, man, he'd been in Oklahoma and he'd been doing some. He'd been like a pastor there and doing some like ministry there. He's like, I just feel like I need to be, I feel for some reason, I just have a real sense that I need to be in politics and government. And I'm just going to ask if you'd pay it back. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, man, I'm running a campaign for Congress for Oklahoma. And would you come and campaign with me? Could you get a crowd at all these different little towns? And then I'll share the vision for Oklahoma. And I was like, okay. And I said, absolutely, man. You did so much for me. Absolutely. So we did that. Lo and behold, he wins the election, becomes U.S. Congressman of Oklahoma. And I was like, awesome.
When did this happen, this part?
This was like 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago.
That recent?
Yeah. And so you're going to love this. So he's a congressman. I turned on CNN one day, and there he is with Wolf Blitzer, and I'm looking, and it says Senator James Lankford, and I was like, Senator James Lankford, and I was like, I texted him, I was like, dude, you were congressman, how are you a senator? He goes, well, the Senate seat came open within 2 years, it had been 2 years since I talked to him. He goes, and I ran for that, and I'm a senator. And he said, at that time, he was sitting on the floor, and he was dealing with ISIS, is when ISIS was going crazy, and he was dealing with that. And then now he sits on the on our finance committee for the United States. And he is, and so he, a few years ago, he was elected. He was every year a Republican and a Democrat do the National Prayer Breakfast together. And he was the person who chaired the National Prayer Breakfast. So he called me and he said, why don't you do this with me?
This story is wild.
So he called me. And here is me and James. I get choked up every time. Standing there in front of, I don't know, 3,000 world leaders. I mean, it's all the world. And it's Jews, Muslim. It's all kinds of faith come. It's mostly a Christian thing, but it's all kinds of faith as well. And they've got overflow seating, and they got everything. And, you know, and the president's there, and the vice president. And it's me and James, the president and the vice president at the table. And Senator Coons was James's partner in it. And so
the president and vice president are there?
Yes.
Which president and vice president?
Trump and Pence.
Just everybody's just there.
Yes. And sitting in front of me is Nancy Pelosi and Barr, Secretary of State Barr at that time, Attorney General Barr, Pompeo.
William Barr. Yeah, yeah.
And Pompeo.
These people are all like fictional to me because they're so famous.
Yeah. I'm sitting next to the Donald, and I'm just like, what's going on? What's going on? And James is leading this thing, and I am playing, and I'm thinking to myself the whole time, people know my music as Chris Tomlin. They have no idea that this guy, James, next to me, I was 17 years old, you know? And he said, you're going to write songs and the whole world's going to sing them. And now we're kind of in front of the world, be together as far as leaders, world leaders. And it was the most full circle thing that I'll never forget it. I just stood there. It's like, I would have never dreamed this. Lord, you just like, how has this happened? You know, this was crazy. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment. And so, yeah, that's kind of the story of where it came. So there was never any other trajectory of like, I'm going to do other things. It was just, it started with that one little moment of playing out from the guy in my church saying, get up there and play, to that youth pastor saying,
being there, just being there.
Being there. The youth pastor just saying, what will you play at my church? My thing, invites this guy named James to speak, who James is like, you have no idea what you're doing. Here's some songs to learn. You're going to write songs and people are going to sing them. To somebody believing you, everybody, you know, it's that moment where somebody believes in you, right? And they look at you and go, they see something you don't see, because I had no idea. I had no idea I had any of that in me. But he said, man, I see this in you and you're going to do something great. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it started this, and it started this journey that here, and I'm here, and I'm sitting with you, and it's just crazy.
Well, I guess I think the journey, you're losing steam if you're with me. It was like, look at all the great stuff I've done, and now I'm here with you, so I'm going down. We've hit the pinnacle,
that,
and
man.
We're going down.
You've done quite amazing things.
That is a really great story. The guy that's like,
yeah,
hey bro,
yeah,
he's the guy that helped you and is now a senator.
Senator, yes. One of the 100.
That's great. I'm glad you told the whole story.
Yeah, I wouldn't plan on doing that, but it's crazy to think about.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about the incredible work that's being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and to ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. Families do not have to worry about a thing. Treatment is covered, travel, housing, food. And when you're a family that's going through this, like imagine you're a parent, your kid gets cancer. You need to focus on that child. You don't need to be worrying about other things. And financial stuff can get really stressful. St. Jude covers it. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment. And when you sign up for just $19 a month, you're going to get the new This Shirt Saves Lives tee. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Your parents, as they watch you do this, what do they say, and how long do they go from "we can't believe it" to "we're just so proud and you continue to impress"? Because there's a difference in that. What's been that relationship?
Yeah, it's been amazing. My little town, you know, has they have the street. They named Main Street Chris Tomlin Boulevard. In my little bitty town, and has the billboard, and you know,
so you don't have to abide by the speed limit.
Exactly,
you can do whatever you want. Yeah,
and so my parents are very, and I know that my parents are behind all that. That's what I'm trying to say. that's why it happened, and they're so proud, and there's not a lot going on in my town, so this is a big deal. And it's funny, so just down the street from me, 12 miles down the street is Lindale, and it's got the Miranda Lambert thing, and then Golden is right there with the Casey Musgraves thing. And then it's all these little towns right there have all these little singers from them, which is fun. But they're so proud and so grateful, and they're always they're always in shock. I mean, just this recent was just nominated for a couple of Grammys this year, and that my mom's just like, I still cannot believe.
Still, that's cool.
I still cannot believe this is my son. You know,
if you got to take them to do anything that you were super proud to be able to take them to do, because you're like, because when I have to take my sister somewhere, or because I don't, a lot of my family's not alive anymore, but if I get to take one of my friends from back home, or my friends now, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to go do this, and we're going to go on a private plane, and we're gonna, stuff I'd never would got to do in a million years, but now that I'm able to have some success, I get to do cool things. The best thing about it is taking the people that have always been there with you to do these cool things.
Yes.
Do you, have you get to do that with your parents at all?
Yes. I've taken my mom to several things. Taking them to the Gospel Music Awards, and I was got to be Artist of the Year and that kind of thing. And they're just like amazing. I took my dad to, his dad loves baseball. So I was doing this was years ago. Cardinals had a family night or something. I did the concert after at the Cardinals game.
And that had to be so cool.
I took my dad. He's just like, this is just crazy.
That had to be so cool for him.
Yeah.
My stepdad, it was a huge, I'm a huge Cubs fan as well. Yeah. Big sports.
Yeah.
Just massive into sports too. And, you know, we didn't have any money at all, and so he had never even been to a Cubs game. And so when I started doing okay, and I lived in Austin, really formed a lot of my career in Austin, and I was like, hey, I had a little money. I said, I'm going to fly you to Chicago. I'll meet you. We'll go to a Cubs game. First time I went to a game. And smash cut, like 7 years later, I was throwing out the first pitch, and I took him. We went on the field. Was like, this is the greatest thing of my life.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was cooler than throwing out the first pitch.
Yes.
Was being with him when he was like, I cannot believe I'm on the field at Wrigley Field. This is the coolest day.
Yeah.
That was what it was all about.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And it's so exciting that your parents are...
They've gotten to do a lot of things with me and share a lot of moments. Obviously, every time I play in Texas, they're there.
What about your wife and that?
Yeah.
If you are in the Christian space, how do you date? Because how does she meet you, I guess? That's a good way to start it.
Yeah, great question. Because she was... I got married later in life and... I could not figure that part of my life out for a long time.
How old were you when you got married?
38.
Okay, I got married at 40. Got married for the first time about a year ago.
Yeah. So we're very similar. So it was, I'd lived in Texas my whole life. I lived in Austin for a good bit, and I was living in Austin. And then I went to Atlanta, moved to Atlanta to help plant this church there for this college ministry I was doing. It turned into a church called Passion. And, I was playing this church there, and my second week there, I only knew like two people in Atlanta. And my second week there, my buddy said, hey, I want me to introduce this girl. And that's how it was. He goes, it was a blind date. He said, I said, well, I'm traveling this weekend. When I come back, let's put it together. We went on a blind date, like the four of us, him and his girlfriend. And, you know, and she was here because she would just dog me the whole time. But she just destroyed me. She said I didn't look at her the whole first day. Didn't say a word to her, which is pretty much true. I was pretty intimidated and pretty shy. And somehow God worked it out. We lost it, lost it all. She said, you know, I was pretty much a normal guy. I couldn't commit. She was like, all right, I'm out of here. And when I finally figured it out, she was about to engage to another person and all the things. And that fell apart. And it was just a crazy story. But here we are. But it was a friend setting me up. And you're right, because it is a weird thing, the whole.
I mean, if you're, you can be a Christian or you can be someone who is known as a significant person in the Christian marketplace.
Right.
And if that's the case, they're like, yeah, this is Chris Tomlin. You know, I'd be like, oh, you probably don't hold hands for like the 10th date. It's so I would wonder how you would date.
Yeah.
Or are you just kind of normal?
I'm very normal, man. Very normal. And just, yeah, I was all over the place with girls. And yeah, it was, it wasn't like that. But yeah, there is an expectation, I think, there, of course. But she was great because she didn't really know my songs. She was Christian and grew up, and her dad was in ministry and all the kind of things, but they were in it. She wasn't like tuned into it. Was the whole thing. She knew the song. She had no idea they were me. So there was a couple songs as we got, you know, after we got married, she would be like, oh, you wrote that song? it was always like, oh my gosh, I used to love that song. That's yours? It was that kind of thing. It was a lot of that. So I knew it wasn't, I knew I'd found somebody because she walked away from me, you know, and I knew I found somebody that wasn't in it for what that life could give her or anything like that. You know, she was in it for me and I wasn't, and that's been so true, and I've been so blessed.
So being a songwriter in this town, one of the struggles, not me, I mean, I do, but it's comedy stuff, but one of the struggles a lot of my friends have is trying to find concepts that are slightly different than every other concept that's been conceptualized.
Yes.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Because it's all basically the same, but you got to find a 1% difference to do a new song about it.
Yeah.
My assumption is you deal with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're writing about the one thing, right? And that is bringing people to God. And for me, it really comes down to this. When I think about songs, it is helping people. I've always thought worship is helping people see more than just sing. Worship is not about singing. It's about seeing. It's about your eyes seeing. And what I mean by that is, so when I try to write songs, I try to find that way that people can see something that they haven't. And that maybe opens their eyes to something like, oh my goodness. And yes, that's, and so finding that one little different way of saying it, like you said, that is like, oh man, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's just simple. I wrote this song called How Great Is Our God. And it is, the chorus is, how great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? All will see. How great is our God? And when I wrote that, I was just sitting there in my room in Austin, in my apartment, just strumming and singing that chorus, thinking that's too simple, that's going nowhere, and somehow it just took off and it's sung everywhere. So sometimes it's not the most brilliant thing; it's just something that you just capture something. But I'm always trying to help people see and connect with songs, and that's what it's been for me.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more.
Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
How do you deal with success? And I'll share my version and be a bit vulnerable so you can see the direction I'm going here. Grew up in poverty most of my life. Always felt like I stood up for the person that was like me. Always felt like I was a voice of someone who had been there, even though I was trying to break that cycle. My mom died. She was an addict, died in her 40s. My dad left when I was 5 or 6. My grandmother adopted me for a while. I was in and out of, there was a lot of moving around. And I was very resentful about that for a long time until I understood the value in it now. I was very lucky that I was able to get through that and understand now that I have a very, very sharp tool called empathy. It's the greatest tool I could ever have, ever. Mm-hmm. And so my goal, even a passion for most of my career, has been speaking for the people that I feel aren't spoken for because there's not a lot of value in what our society deems valuable in speaking for them. I understand why people would stand up for business, people that are struggling, they usually don't have people speaking for them because people that are making decisions didn't struggle. Most politicians come from something or have a path there. Most, not all, but most. So, but as I started to have more success and then have just, in my mind, this crazy amount of success, and then I'm making a lot of money, and people are like, well, look at you, you're changing. Oh, look at you. It's a nice watch you got there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, two things. One, I'm going, man, I can now buy every pair of shoes I ever wanted. I had to wear yard sale shoes as a kid. So it's like, I just want to have these shoes. We never had a car that ran. I want to have an awesome car. And at the same time, I'm doing things, but people are going, wait, no, I thought you were the man of the people. You got a Tesla? I don't anymore.
Right.
I had a better car. But you got, like, you got a Tesla. That's not even for real. And it still is bothersome to me. And my wife is great about it. And she talks me down because I start to have guilt. And I start to, how do you deal with that? Because I don't have it down. And I have guilt sometimes. And I'm proud at the same time because I was able to get out of this. And the bigger my platform, the more I can give back. But I'm still making more. And things are awesome in that capacity. But it is... And it's not a real problem. And I don't say, like, everybody listen to this, feel sorry for me, because it's not a real problem. It's just something.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? Because you have unparalleled success. There's nobody in where you do it that does it like you do at the level. There has to be some of that there because you're able to eat just fine.
Yeah. I've been very blessed and very, And it is a, you are saying it, man. And I don't have an answer. And the answer is that you are in it, that you are wrestling with it is an amazing good thing. Because the day you're not, and is when it's like, to me, the day I don't wrestle with all the blessings I've been given and what I do with it, and I don't wrestle with that, to me, it's over. It will be over quick. And, you know, Lauren and I talk about it a lot. I mean, we probably grew up not exactly alike, but similar. I mean, I started in a trailer house and it was like, there was, to growing up fine, but nothing like, very, middle class at best. And Lauren and I talk about it with our kids. I have 3 girls and, it's like, they weren't in the environment I was in. And how do we do that? How do we keep that grounded? And, we do the same thing. Coming to your podcast, I was just on a Zoom call for a good bit of the morning with a foundation that my wife and I have for kids who don't have families in our country, and trying to fight every day for that and to instill that in our kids of like, there are so many kids that do not have what. And so the best thing that I feel like I've always been able to do is use my influence, the influence I've been given to help others. And I think you do that, and you're doing that, and you have the heart to do that. And that's, man, that's the best reason for giving influence.
Do you have guilt for success though, ever? or some of the stuff that success can give you, because I do wrestle with it. And I also, and again, I'm also proud. It's a weird thing because I am ashamed and proud at the same time.
I don't know if guilt is, maybe it's guilt to grow. It's always perspective. I lose perspective fast. I think I lose perspective fast, and it doesn't take you that long to realize I don't have problems.
And that's why I said that too. And I'm giving you this because we're talking about this. That's not a problem. It's not a problem.
I don't have problems. Yeah. I'm helping people, trying to help people who are going through real, real struggles, and have not been given the things I've been given, or the opportunities. And that puts you in a place of humility. It puts you in a place of, you know, a soberness of, you know, and that's the call of faith, man. That's the call of, I looked at my phone because, you know, now your Bible's on your phone, but that is the call of God's word, right? That's what this is all about, is the least of these. And if I'm not living that out, then I need to stop doing, I need to stop saying that I'm about all all these things. You know what I'm trying to say?
I do, because I feel what you're trying to say. It's like when you sing your songs, you're like, can you feel it? Can you see it? Like, I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's, I don't know. I struggle with that.
Yeah.
I never feel like I'm doing enough. It doesn't matter what I do. So I've now understood that it doesn't matter what I do. I'm never going to feel like I'm doing enough. So as long as I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
I help.
You're in it, man. You know, in your heart, when you're prompted, you know, and to do it and to act, and that's what this is about, and for me, and I think that's what touches the heart of God too, is taking care of those who, I mean, that's the call. That is everybody's called. That's always say everybody. Not everybody's called to adopt kids or do things, but everybody's called to care. That you don't get out of that.
I don't want to keep you too much longer. I do want to go over a few things here, and I'll just brag on you for a second, so you don't have to make a noise if you don't want. You can squeal or something if you want, but just so people can understand this. And by the way, tickets are available. Just go to ChrisTomlin.com.
Yeah.
But whenever you just look at data, and data doesn't have a bias, mm-hmm. and sometimes for me, that stinks. Sometimes it's great, but. You're one of the only four artists to ever receive the Sound Exchange Digital Radio Award, over 1 billion digital radio streams. Now, that's not one of four Christian artists. That's Justin Timberlake, Garth Brooks, you, and Pitbull, who internationally,
yeah.
I mean, even just here is massive, but internationally. You're one of the four that has, I mean, that is the influence, the power. I did a show. It's a crazy story. I have friends that don't listen to country music at all. Don't know how big Garth is. They don't understand how big Garth is. And I said, hey, Garth, I was talking to one of them. I said, I'm not going to be able to do this. Garth has asked me to come open a show for him. This is last year. They're like, what venue are you playing? I was like, no, it's a stadium. They're like, huh? I was like, yeah, no, Garth, it's 100,000 people, and we're going to be the act right before Garth. He's asked me to come out and to open for him. And they're like, wait. Okay, that's cool. You're opening for Garth, but 100,000 people will go to Garth. I'm like, no, you don't understand. He can do two, three nights.
He'll do
and he
that.
Can do stadium. But
it's unbelievable.
But that's. But I'm bragging on you at the same time because there are four people, and you're him.
Well, yeah, I'm not Garth, and you might. But I think that speaks to me. You know, when I say that, which we need to put that tour together: Timberlake, Garth, Pitbull, and myself. But that'd be an amazing night. But. What that speaks to me is how massive the church is, and I'm not trying to deflect, but I'm honestly saying that because
there are a lot of people. I'm going to undeflect for just 1 second.
Because the fifth person who gets that is going to be like, oh, Justin, Garth, Pitbull, and
I
who?
I hear you, but there's a lot of people in the church that make great music, and you're the one that's in that list.
But I say it that
you can be humble, and I'll be the reverse humble for you. Just take it. You're awesome. Well, we're going to leave it there. You're awesome, and you can keep deflecting. But
I'm honestly, I just want to speak to that because I think sometimes, you know, just realize, man, that globally the church is so massive and those songs find their way, you know, in an incredible way.
Okay, you gotta stop knocking.
Okay.
The deluxe album of the deluxe version of the Christmas album.
Yeah.
What's deluxe about? New songs, obviously, but why did you feel to go back and add to this and not just do a whole new project?
Well, I just had some songs left over, you know, and I wanted that. I was like, they weren't exactly right at the time. And I was like, oh, this would be great. And then Ann Wilson, who is amazing, new girl in our world. She's this 19-year-old phenom, just like amazing singer. She did one of the songs with me. And I was like, I want people to hear that. And so, yeah, I love making, it's my third Christmas album. I love making Christmas music. It's like, for me, it's weird, man. It's my favorite songs to write. Of songs, the Christmas songs. I don't know why. You're talking about just writing about one thing. You got one subject.
Yeah.
And for, you know, for the birth of Jesus. And like, I don't know. I just find it so fun. And I just love these songs.
It's going to be very quick questions because, again, we're going to get you out of here. But
yeah, sure.
I could do 3 hours with you. No, I'm just a massive fan.
You're kind.
So you don't have to answer these long or at all. But last time you said a bad word.
It's funny, man, because I don't know, maybe a couple days ago, but I don't say a lot. It's just doesn't come out of me. These guys are always playing. I love playing golf. Do you like playing golf?
I actually love to play golf. Yeah. Did you see what I have when you walked in?
Yeah, I did. I love the game. I love the game.
Are you good?
Around 82.
Oh, yeah. You're pretty good. Yeah. Better than I am. I mean, I'm 85.
Yeah, yeah. 85. So, but I just could not play. I mean, I don't know what, it's just one of those days. And these guys are like, they're like, you did not say a cuss word the whole day. And they were just so blown away by that. And I wasn't trying not to. I just like, it's just not part of my, it's not part of my language. I got people who do, it's no problem. I'm with friends all the time. And what I don't like is when people say something and then they think that's going to offend me or something. I was like, bro, come on, dude. I'm a dude. Like,
same. I've said a curse word in like 4 or 5 years at all, because I don't want to think when I'm writing.
Yeah.
Because to me, honestly, Chris, it's a sound that comes out. If you feel that's an action.
Yeah.
But it's just a sound that if you drive or if you fly 4 hours one direction, that sound doesn't even mean the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just blah, blah, blah. That could be a sound. It's just a sound.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't want to write and have to, or if I'm doing stand up, I don't want to have to think in curse words.
Yeah.
So I just eliminated it.
That's amazing. I've just never had, it's never been a thing of me.
Yeah, I used to like it though.
You did?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun. I like it a lot actually. Okay. That was one question. Do you ever want to, when you're playing a show, I don't know, just play a Merle Haggard song?
Yes. Yes. It just doesn't work. I think the people that have come, they didn't come for that. And they don't, it's not what they want.
You're a disguise and you just play, you just go out to one of the places in town and play a set of secular.
I have not, but I love playing those songs so much.
Two final questions. Favorite artist now that you'll listen to that is not in your same space? So it could be country, it could be pop. Who do you, if it's like, I'm just going to hang out at the house and relax and play some music while I'm cooking or something, what artist do you go to? Mine, I love John Mayer. John Mayer talks to me. He's basically my age and writes in my voice. Mm. Who do you love?
I love Coldplay.
Man, me too.
I just love, I love them. I love Coldplay. And then my weird kick is John Denver.
I love John Denver too. I get offended for John Denver.
Yeah, people. Yeah.
At retro people, yeah, who would say he wasn't country.
Yeah, I just love his, there's something that feels good when I listen to his songs. I'm like, I like this guy. But yeah, Coldplay for sure. Best concert I've ever been to in my life.
Final question. Don't have to answer if you don't want to. Your kids, can they listen to the pop station?
Yes.
All right. And
they can, but I mean, they don't. I mean, it's no different. I mean, they listen. It's Encanto. It's Vivo. It's all Disney. So.
Okay. That also would be pop. Okay. So they can listen to popular music. It's not only.
Yeah.
All right. We're just going to go.
But when they start bringing on the.
They're also young.
Yeah. Like, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But when they start bringing on some of the stuff that's out there, then I have no problem saying, we're not going to listen to that.
Yeah, it's a dad. That's a dad. I just want to
protect them,
right?
I just want to protect them. I don't want that in there, getting in their heart.
I'm going to tell you, Chris, you're just the coolest, man.
Oh, man.
You're just the coolest.
Dude, you're so kind. I was so nervous coming here today.
No, you didn't.
I'm serious. I'm not making it because I was like, man, this is.
Stop.
You're like a. I mean, you're the king of this thing.
I mean, okay. Well, we can have mutual respect, but you're the coolest, and so I really I appreciate the fact that we still made this happen and that you still made this happen. And I apologize. I just blew my voice. And I didn't want to waste that. I remember telling Mike, I don't want to go into this 30% because I owe it to him to be here and be. And so thank you for allowing me to do that.
Oh, buddy. I'm so glad we could make this work.
We should play golf.
Yes.
And it's cold now, which kind of stinks. But I have a simulator.
That is amazing.
How far away do you live from my house?
I live 30 minutes. I'm in Franklin. 25 minutes.
In town,
we're going to play.
Come up and we'll hit the sim, especially in the winter because you can't play golf anywhere.
I'll
just get your number from Mike or whomever has it and we'll do it.
I would love to do that.
I've never said that to anybody, but I like you as a person. It's cool. You're like a dude.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's the highest thing you could say.
But I'm gonna stay there.
No, that's for me. That's awesome.
Do you feel like some people treat you weird because? I don't want to keep. This is the last thing I'm gonna ask.
100%.
I've never had a drink of alcohol because my parents. I don't have a problem people drinking alcohol. Okay, yeah. Have at it, buddy.
Yeah.
For me, I can't. They're addicts. They died of addiction, so I have to stay away. So I've never had one drink. But people act weird around me because they're like, "Oh, there's Mr. No Drink." But I don't want people to know. I'll fake it sometimes, like I'm drinking, because it's not about that to me.
Right.
Do people go, "Oh, that's Chris Tomlin, the Christian singer. We got to really be on our P's and Q's."
That
would be so annoying.
That's what I can't stand.
Yeah.
You know, and I have one of my good friends, and you'll know where I'm going with this, is Tim Tebow. And we've been buddies since he played at Florida. And we'll be together, and I'll watch that happen with him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, he's as dude as you get. I mean, you know, and somebody will say something, MF this or whatever, and he's just, and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he's like, "Bro, stop."
Like, I'm a normal, I'm a human.
Yes.
I'm a dude.
So, yes, I get that, and it bothers the heck out of me.
Dang. All right, Chris. Thank you. What does a wildly successful artist do on a Wednesday afternoon?
Goes pick up his kids from school.
Got it. That's why you need to go. They're sitting out on the curb right now.
Daddy.
All right, you guys, at Chris Tomlin, go to the show. Go to ChrisTomlin.com in the Deluxe Christmas. It's out. It's there. Chris, thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.